Hi, I'm Paul Yuknovich. I'm one of the principal PM managers on the Visual Studio team. I'm here to tell you about some of the big updates we did for you this quarter on our Azure tools for Visual Studio, also synced up with the Azure SDK 2.9. We had a few major investment areas. The first one being making it easier and making life better to deploy your Azure applications using ARM. And we have a set of tools that help you with that. Secondly, we keep hearing that diagnostics is one of the biggest pain points. So we have several investments that'll help you there, both diagnosing inside the tools and diagnosing the live site using the portal. And third, we have a really major update around Storage Explorer, which we're excited to show you. There's many more things that we did, and at the end of this video, I'll give you an overview of those. So let's go look at the demo. So we'll bring up Visual Studio. So as you know, we have a set of tools that make it easier to deploy and use infrastructure as code practices using ARM. We've updated the set of tools for ARM to make things more useful for new resources and also to make life more secure using the Key Vault. So let's take a look at that. We'll create a new project. We'll pick Azure Resource Group. This is where you find ARM templates. As you can see, we have a set of new templates that correspond to the new service we have, which is the Azure Virtual Machine Scale Set, also called VMSS. So we'll pick a Windows VMSS. And we can see the project scaffolded out the JSON templates that I need, as well as the PowerShell script that can deploy. And by having all these templates and scripts in my solution and in source code control, I actually have much better management over my infrastructure. So we'll open the template, and we have a set of helpful tools here. For example, we have the JSON outline, and we can select and navigate very quickly to any of the JSON sections for the resources we care about. And we're seeing that we have a great story to basically scaffold out what you need, and you have colorization in IntelliSense to make it easy to make those fine-grained edits. We can also modify the template easily by adding a resource in the JSON outline. And one thing I'd want to do is add a custom script for my VMSS. In this case, I want a secure script. And we'll bind it to this VM scale set that we just defined. And now my VM scale set's been updated. The cool thing about the editor is the editor knows exactly the insertion point where to put that markup. And there is an order dependency, so that actually mattered. Now, the next thing I want to do is actually go ahead and deploy the template. What that'll do is that'll stand up this scalable VM scale set architecture for me in Azure. So right-click, we'll deploy. And we'll pick the subscription that I want to use. Visual Studio is going to look into my subscription. And there we go. So we can pick a resource group that we want to use. And the key thing that I need to do in this tool is I need to parameterize the values that only I know, like the unique DNS name, or things like the username and password. We'll do things like that. We'll pick two instances. Getting some validation. Looks like I've already used that, so validation's even helping me here. Okay, no problem. Thanks for that tool. And a cool thing I'm seeing now, when I'm setting something like a password on the environment, I'm going ahead and I'm typing it in. That's going into clear text. That's not so good. But what we can do now, I have this editor, and I realize that I'm working with a secret. So we prompt you with UI saying, hey, why don't you go ahead and put that secret in the Key Vault? And if you've never created a Key Vault before, the tool actually helps you provision one using PowerShell or using the CLI. But the great thing is I can deploy with a lot more confidence, and I can move from environment to environment. And Visual Studio will really work with that workflow and make sure that secrets are flowing in and out of the Key Vault and never actually in my source code. So that's one big improvement that I want to show you there. The last thing, for those of you working with ARM, and if you want a lighter weight experience or you want to work on a different kind of a machine like Mac or Linux, the cool thing is we created an extension for Visual Studio Code. In Visual Studio Code, as you can see here, I'm loading a JSON template for ARM, and that template's giving me that same colorization, IntelliSense. It's even telling me things like, you know, inline documentation. So you get that rich experience in the really lightweight Visual Studio Code environment, which is also cross-platform. So those are some of the updates that we made for you in ARM. I actually want to switch gears now, and I want to show you some of the improvements we made using diagnostics. So we'll close this. I'm going to show you something that you could do in a number of the compute types. I'm going to pick cloud services to show you this example. So in the last release, as you might have seen, what we did is we made it easier to connect Azure Diagnostics, which is also called WAD, up with Application Insights. And by doing that, all of your infrastructure data from Windows Azure Diagnostics travels to the storage for App Insights, and now you can see your application metrics and logs together with your infrastructure logs. And that makes diagnosing the end-to-end situation a lot better. You know, is my application having the problem? Is it the infrastructure? Is the infrastructure causing my application to fail? That kind of thing can be deduced. So a cool update that we made this time, when you deploy an application, we make it really seamless to basically say, hey, not only sync this data to Azure Storage, but go ahead and sync it to Application Insights. And we have an experience to, you know, again, easily connect to your subscription, pick an App Insights key, or create a new one, and then go ahead and use it. And what that'll do is that'll update your WAD config file, which is the configuration for diagnostics, to have the Application Insights sync. At that point, I've actually already deployed because that takes a few minutes. I want to show you what the result looks like and what the benefits are of doing that. So if we go to the Azure portal, let me tell you just a quick thing about my app. Ironically, the app that we're using is Fabricam Fiber, and that's about troubleshooting. And so what we're going to do is we're going to troubleshoot the troubleshooting app, which is kind of a fun thing to do. So one thing that I'm experiencing is when I go through this application and I'm adding customers, I'm seeing slowdown, I'm seeing degrade, and I'm seeing failures. So what do we do about that? So going to the portal, what we now see, if I go to the App Insights blade, for my application, which was, again, configured by the tool for me. I go to the actual application. I'm seeing that there's new UI to actually pick this application map. And the way you can think about that is this is a way to visualize your complete topology and get quick insights into what are all the components or layers of my distributed application, and do I have any hotspots or actually failure points in the application. So here, just at a glance, I can see that I have a web kind of a role or a web kind of a layer that's calling a number of different services, whether it's SQL DB or whether it's Azure Tables and Azure Storage. And I can see immediately that there's a failure here. So again, if you're working on a large distributed application or you're working in a team and you don't have insights into absolutely, you know, all the layers that a request will go through, this kind of feature is invaluable to quickly visualize and understand what's going on. All right. And then from this visualization, not only can I narrow down where the problem is, I can actually start to find that root cause. So let's go ahead and look at the metrics for this request. I can see that some of my controllers are having a problem. So here, I'm down in the failure list. Let's pick that. Okay. And I can see that using this index action off of the customer's controller, you know, I'm not having successful calls. We can go ahead and open that up. And I'm really going to start to narrow things down. I can chase down through the request all the dependencies that I'm about to go through, and boom, we get closer to the smoking gun. We actually find that in the index controller, I'm making calls to storage, and there's actually a problem. And it turns out the root cause of this issue is that we're trying to insert customers with the same primary key over and over again, and that's invalid. And because of the exception handling and the fault tolerance that we've built into this application, those exceptions are getting swallowed. But the cool thing is I can translate a degrade I'm seeing in the experience to an actual hotspot in the topology to the actual root cause in the code that I need to fix. So that gives you an example of how you can use this kind of a diagnostics tool. Speaking of performance degrades, there's another tool that I want to show you. So here's a new preview tool of a service that we built called the Service Profiler. And the way to think about Service Profiler is it will help you find performance issues at runtime in your live site across a range of percentiles and a range of requests. So let's go ahead. You can actually go to the site, serviceprofiler.azurewebsites.net. Today, you can go even run a live site demo without provisioning the service into your subscription. And we give you basically a guided tour to show you how to use this. So quick overview, what I'm seeing here is a list of all the requests that are actually coming into my live service. I can see different percentiles and I can see how the performance is actually changing. You can see it's getting worse and worse as I move up through the percentiles. So maybe on average my service is working well, but in the long tail some of my customers are having a really awful experience. The thing about Service Profiler is you've probably had this feeling that this is happening, and now you actually have the data to figure out where your hotspots are and where you have problems. Another thing Service Profiler is doing is it's constantly and intelligently taking samples for you, so that for each percentile in each request, it's building up a set of samples in different profiles, and you can examine, you know, how you're actually looking with an actual case study of a request. Then you get into this sort of waterfall view. And what makes it really easy is you can actually show the hot path and work your way all the way down to something like an await, a sync lock, a really long call, and you can very quickly deduce what the root cause is. You know, so to summarize, Service Profiler is a service. It's long running, it runs with low overhead, and it's sampling for you intelligently so that you always have the repro and you always have the data without having to do a really disruptive diagnostics session or debugging session.
Hi, I'm Christy Gonzalez, and today I'm going to show you a quick demo of Storage Explorer. For our first release back in November, we supported blobs and blobs containers. For this latest update, we're excited to share that we now support features for tables and for queues. So I'm going to jump right in and show you a few of those cool new features. So as you can see in here, I have already logged into Storage Explorer, and so it's loaded some of the storage accounts that I have access to. But let's say that there's something wrong with a live application that we already have in production, and we're trying to figure out what went wrong with this application in the last 24 hours. But I don't have access to that storage account or any of the tables that are in that storage account. So one of my coworkers has decided to share a shared access signature URI with me. And what I can now do with this is that I can go in here and say that I want to connect to that table using the shared access signature. And when I paste it in here and I expand this node, you can see that I now have access to this diagnostics table that has information that I can use to figure out what's wrong in our production application. So if I double click on that, that'll open up the table with pretty much the same information that you would see on the actual table. Now, I'm trying to find out what went wrong in the last 24 hours. So the first thing I need to do is find those entities that were logged in that time period. And so I can write a query to do just that. But if I go in here, I can manually enter that query in here in OData if I know it. Or I can simply use this Add Query button that has preloaded queries and query snippets that I can easily plug into that text box. So as you can see here, I have the ability to query by timestamp. And I can select, hey, show me the entities that you have available for the last 24 hours. So when I click on that, that'll automatically input that query into that text box. And I can modify it. It doesn't automatically execute it, so I can modify this query to add any additional things that I want to query by. But in this case, this is exactly what I'm looking for. So when I hit enter, that's going to go and look to that live table and then return any entities that match this query for things that were logged in the last 24 hours. And as you can see in here, these are the entities that match this query. Now, after I do this, there's other cool things that I can do with tables. Say, for example, if I wanted to take a closer look at the information that I have in this table or share it with somebody without necessarily giving them access to the table, I can export this table to CSV. And I can choose to save this on my machine. And I'm going to go right ahead and do that. And you can see that the progress is displayed on the activity log. Other things that I could do, I could import this. I could import values from CSV if this were a test table and I already had test values in the CSV file that I wanted to import. And of course, I have basic CRUD operations, like I can edit existing entities or add new ones or delete them. So let's say that thanks to this, I'm able to resolve the issue with the production side, and now I'm starting a new application, and I want to use queues in this application. So I can get started with that. I can say that I already have this account, so I want to create a new queue. So I say that this is my test queue. And that automatically creates the queue up on the storage account. So if I go in here, obviously there's no data in this table, but I can go and add test messages to this queue, and it automatically shows. I can choose whatever length of time that I want. So I can say for it to expire in 7 seconds. I can also dequeue messages, and this will dequeue the first message in the queue. So when I click on yes, this will refresh the table, and now it's empty because the other message was set to expire in 7 seconds. But I can do this repeatedly, and this is a very easy way for me to test my queue and make sure that I have the messages to test my application. Now, the last thing that I want to show that we did for this update is that we now support the creation of SAS URIs at the storage account level. So if I right-click on a storage account, I can say get shared access signature, and this allows me to configure the settings for a SAS URI that I can create for my storage account, and then this is something that I can give to my coworkers, my colleagues, so that they can access either in all the contents of my blobs, queues, and tables, or just a subset of those. And then on top of that, once I create the shared access signature, I can go into this tree view over here, and I also have the ability to attach a storage account using SAS, and I can connect to any storage account much in the same way that you can connect to any blobs, queues, and tables as I showed earlier in this demo. So these are the new features that we shipped with our latest update of Storage Explorer. We'll hope you like them. Thank you.
So as we just saw, we made some major improvements for diagnostics, for deployment to Azure, and also to working with storage. There's actually a whole bunch more updates that we did. That there's not enough time to show you all those things, but I did want to provide you with a summary of all those features. Some highlights that we didn't get to show you today that I suggest you go check out. One thing is if you're trying to improve the latency of your diagnostics, we have a new broker or a new sync that you can use with Azure Diagnostics using Event Hub. And basically, in real time, that really speeds up that hot path of data, that very small set of metrics that you need to look at in real time. You can speed up the transfer of those and do that using the Event Hub. So that's super powerful. That'll also open up possibilities for you to have monitoring systems that are custom, or you could work with third-party systems like Splunk, Sumo Logic, or Elk, and you can adapt to all of those things. There's Azure Stack support, which is really helpful for running your workload in the private cloud, the public cloud, or the hosted cloud, or even doing hybrid options. So our tools are aware of Azure Stack, and they work really well with that. As Christy showed, there's a number of huge updates for Storage Explorer. Some things we didn't show were things like encryption. So you can encrypt your data at rest, and our storage tools will actually work with that encrypted data. Service Fabric made a huge update. And you can get additional tools and SDKs for that, and it'll make your life better deploying microservices and monitoring them and monitoring your cluster deployment in real time. Last but not least, you can get an additional set of Docker tools. So if you're working with containerized environments, we have a great story to work locally with the containers to make quick edits and debug and refresh without waiting long amounts of time to kind of recreate containers. So there's a lot of really cool things for you to check out in this wave of SDKs. What I would love it if you went and got the tools today. Tell us what you think, and we hope that you really love it. Thank you.